Reading from Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant, for behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. And he has shown strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord stands forever." Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we thank you for these words that have been recorded for us of your servant Mary, a humble woman who is willing to allow you, the creator of the universe, to work through her. And Father, we thank you for her heart and her mind, and may we have that attitude as we seek to live out our lives, that you might work through us, you might use us for your glory, for your honor. So meet with us now, Lord. We pray these things in your Son's glorious and precious name. Now, you've just heard what is often called Mary's song or the Magnificat. And Mary sings her song in response to the visit of the angel and the reality of her conception. And if you remember, during Sunday mornings, we've been walking through the book of Samuel. And recently, we looked at the prayer of Hannah, a woman who, a few thousand years prior, had experienced a very similar situation. She was pregnant. She was blessed by God with a child. And allow me to remind you of Hannah's prayer. 1 Samuel chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, "For my heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord, and my mouth derides my enemies, because I have rejoiced in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have now ceased to hunger. The barren has borne seven, but she who is many is forlorn. For the Lord kills and brings to life, and he brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and he makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust and he lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. And he will guard the feet of the faithful ones, but the wicked will be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord will be broken to pieces, and against them he will thunder in the heavens, and the Lord will judge the ends of the earth. But he will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Now, I believe as you read Mary's prayer, as you've heard that read earlier, it's an echo of Hannah's prayer. Mary was familiar, I believe, with Hannah's prayer. And the interesting thing is both of these women chosen by God rejoiced in the fact that God was bringing forth his plan through them. Hannah brought forth Samuel, and Mary had the privilege of bringing forth by a virgin birth the Christ child. She knew full well that her pregnancy was not moving forward in normal manner, but that God himself had granted her that privilege. And it's interesting that both of these women, in what I would consider to be an uncharacteristic way, stop and give praise to God. as they realize that God is working. He is rolling that covenant forward. He is unpacking that piece by piece. And what do? They stop and they give praise to God for who He is. Not so much for what He has done. Yes, they are thankful that they have a new life. But in each of these prayers, in each of these songs, we find a series of reversals. Because one of the things that we have seen is our God is a God of reversals. He changes things around. What happened to Hannah was the beginning of the story of King David's rise to the throne. A kingdom that we see picturing Christ as He rules, but an imperfect picture. And likewise, what we see happening in Mary's life is the beginning of the story of King Jesus as He rises to the throne. And so Mary's message in her prayer is very clear. God the King is coming. And when He comes, He's going to turn the world upside down. Notice what she declares there in verse 50. And His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. One of the amazing things about the God of the universe, the God who is that it's not very difficult to receive His mercy and favor. You don't come proudly stomping up to God and say, I'm here, aren't you lucky to have me? But the key that we find again and again within God's Word is to approach a holy God of the universe is to simply come with fear and humility. Notice how Mary says it. And His fear is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. Mary celebrates this reality that as a humble woman, she realizes the reality that God, the God of the covenants who had made covenants with Adam, with Abraham, with David, the God of the covenants was unfolding yet another covenant through the birth of this child. She remembered, I believe, very clearly the first covenant given to Abraham, Genesis 17:7, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. What an amazing promise. God comes to us and He says, I'm going to be your God, and here's what I'm going to do for you. You just simply need to come to me humbly. We don't come to God as if we have it all together. We come in humble fear and reverence. We don't come with self-confidence in our qualifications or our goodness. But instead, we realize that our God, He alone provides. Just as Abraham learned when he was asked to sacrifice Isaac. And Isaac said, where's the sacrifice? And he says, God will provide. God always provides what we need for our salvation, and we find that as we stop and think about the reality of the birth of Jesus Christ. God provided the covenant of grace through this humble child who came in lowly circumstances. And as Mary continues in the prayer, she picks up on a very, what seems uncharacteristic. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud. He has brought down the mighty. He has exalted those in humble estate. Notice the reversals. Mary is celebrating that God has made many reversals. And she realizes, probably more than most, that the God of heaven has no time for those who are proud in their thoughts, in their deeds, for those who have set themselves apart arrogantly by their supposed good deeds. They're going to be cast down. But instead, God receives those who simply say, I'm here, Lord. Have mercy upon me, a sinner. And notice, Mary declares clearly that God has now granted the salvation which He has formerly promised. It has now arrived, and she realizes that this child within her is the gift. And so here's the reality that we must all ask ourselves each and every day, which side of history are you on? Because see, in God's kingdoms, there are really only two kingdoms in this world. As you look at all of history, the kingdom of this world. And then secondly, the kingdom of God's King. And that really boils down to that there are two types of people. Those who defy God and believe they are sufficient of themselves. And secondly, those who humbly come before God and humble themselves before Him. And so think about it. When you look at all of history, you're going to find a fault line running through it. And it's these two contrasts. It's this reversal that God continually does. On one side are those who are self-righteous and self-reliant, thinking that they can accomplish what they want by their own strength and power. But on the other side are those who are humbled by their sin. And they simply say, "Have mercy upon me. Thank you, Father, that you have provided what I need." And here tonight, we celebrate the fact that God sent King Jesus as a humble babe in humble, lowly circumstances, completely a reversal of what we would expect of the King of the universe to come. It was not the coming of a rich and proud king. In fact, who receives the announcement first but perhaps the most lowly and humble of people? The shepherds. The angels come to them in Luke 2 and declare that truth. "Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." That reality that Jesus had come in the flesh. And then when we look at the life of this child, as Jesus grows in wisdom and stature, as Jesus carries out his ministry, as we see the gospel, we see that his work of redemption is completely unlike what the religious establishment might expect. I love how Paul puts it in Philippians 2, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. A work of salvation, unlike we would expect. But as God came as a humble servant, as God came as a man, a God-man, he did what no man had ever done. He did what Adam did not do. He lived in perfect obedience to God the Father. And because of his perfect life, he could offer his perfect life as a sacrifice. I love how John the Baptist said it. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He knew what Jesus' ministry and work was about. And so it's helpful for us to remember this reversal. Jesus was brought lower than Hannah. Jesus was brought lower than Mary. But it didn't stop there. Because after Jesus completed the work on the cross, what does Paul say? Philippians 2:9. "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name." While we remember the Christ child on this Christmas Eve, let us remember that that Christ child is worthy of all glory and honor and praise forevermore. Because he is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. The cross is God's great reversal. Jesus came into this world that he might bear our sins, that we by faith might receive his perfect righteousness. That's the reality of Christmas. That Christ came for us. What an amazing truth. He came into this dark world. And I love how John puts it. He writes in the beginning of his gospel. And John puts it this way. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. For the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it."